Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 2nd of August 2017. I'm Sue.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Brian.
And your sound engineer this week is Martin. We would like to say a very big thank you to Joan Simmons and Margaret Coley for their donations towards the funding of our Talking News and Magazine. They count a lot, and once again, a very big thank you to you. And now, Margaret will start us off with the news.
Pupils at Withymore Primary School in Briley Hill this week gave their retiring head teacher a send-off to remember. Youngsters joined together to perform an entire school flash mob for popular head teacher Gil Harper, who retired on Tuesday, July the 25th, after a 37-year teaching career. Children across all year groups had been secretly learning their dance moves for the last few weeks, Foundation stage leader Rebecca Fellows said. She said the flash mob was the brainchild of creative arts coordinator Kirsty Owen, and added, "It's been quite tricky trying to practice without her knowing. We've had to quickly turn the music off when she's been anywhere near the corridor." Pupils reportedly left Mrs. Harper, who had been head teacher at Withymore for 10 years, very emotional after surprising her in the playground with a performance set to the Mark Ronson's pop song Uptown Funk, followed by a routine to Sound of Music number So Long Farewell. Miss Fellows said she had been an incredible head teacher. She's been really inspiring and has always had the children at the centre of everything she's done. The school has been very close to her heart. Mrs. Harper hopes to spend more time travelling and with her family in her retirement years. She said it was a big decision to leave Withymore, but with the arrival of my first grandchild, it was the right time for me to retire. I will miss the children and the staff alongside whom I've worked very much, and I wish them all every success in the future. And she added, "I'd also like to thank the governors for their invaluable support during the 10 years I've been privileged to lead this wonderful school." Alison Wotton from Woodside Primary School in Dudley is set to take over as head teacher at Withymore from September.
The new chief executive of the West Midlands Super Council will be paid £187,500 a year, £7,500 more than the advertised salary. Deborah Cadman, currently chief executive of Suffolk County Council, will take up the role at the West Midlands Combined Authority later in the year. The role was advertised with a salary of between £160,000 and £180,000. The 54-year-old is due to take over the running of the body in September. Details of relocation expenses, annual leave entitlement and other matters have so far been kept under wraps. Her previous role in Suffolk came with a £170,000 a year salary, £108,500 more than the first elected West Midlands Mayor, Andy Street, who is paid £79,000. Publicly available documents state, following negotiations, the final package agreed, with the discretion provided by the interview panel, is £187,500. As the negotiated pay is higher than the substantive pay range, there will be no automatic increase in base pay other than any joint negotiating committee for chief officers nationally or regionally agreed pay increases. It should also be noted that there is no performance-related pay approved for the post. Any change to either of these in the future will be subject of a report to the board of the West Midlands Combined Authority. The authority said that the extra £7,500 in salary can be paid out of the remaining budget for the body. Mrs. Cadman, who is from Birmingham, will replace interim chief executive Martin Reeves, who will return to his post at Coventry City Council.
The driver of a camper van, which dramatically burst into flames in Stourbridge, has told of his lucky escape. Michael Powditch, aged 48, was driving along Red Hill yesterday lunchtime, that's Tuesday, July the 26th, when his van suddenly went up in flames. People in nearby streets reported hearing a loud bang and a plume of black smoke billowing into the sky. Michael, who lives in Telford, said, "I have no idea how it started. I just pulled out into the road and heard a noise which I thought was the engine backfiring." The engine started to die on me, but then a passerby ran up and started shouting that the van was on fire. I got out as quickly as I could and saw flames were starting to come out of the engine. A few seconds later, the whole thing was up in flames. I really had a lucky escape. Briley Hill firefighters were swiftly on the scene, followed by a crew from Haydon Cross, and they managed to put out the flames, which, according to one onlooker, were as high as the nearby trees. Michael, who was in the van by himself, was not hurt in the drama, which unfolded just after 12:45, but his camper van was completely destroyed. He said, "As soon as I heard the exhaust backfire, I knew something was very wrong. My first thought was to get out as quickly as I could, but the speed at which it went up was frightening. I hadn't thought to take my phone or my wallet with me, but luckily my phone was in my pocket, but I had left my wallet in the van. I was meant to be going on holiday next week, so I had quite a bit of money in there ready for that. But when the firefighters had put the fire out, they were actually able to recover the wallet, still intact. So again, I was very lucky. The road was closed to pedestrians and motorists for a number of hours while emergency service crews made the vehicle safe." Michael added, "I would like to thank the two residents of the Heathlands, unfortunately I can't remember their names, who took me into their home and let me tidy myself up after the fire as I was covered in ash. They also made me a lovely cup of tea, so I'm really grateful for their hospitality."
Mary Hill owner, Intu, says it will struggle to see growth. It blames slower than expected progress in sealing deals with new tenants for its empty former BHS store premises. The store at Mary Hill is among those still empty, although Intu says agreements for some of these larger units are in advanced legal stage. At the same time, the challenging UK retail market has seen a dip in the number of shoppers at its centres across the UK. David Fischel, Intu's chief executive, said, "Intu has performed robustly over the six-month period in a UK retail environment, which continues to be challenging. Retail brands are being selective in their expansion, looking at established locations, such as our 17 prime shopping centres, which are attracting high footfall through their differentiated offering and compelling customers' experience." He added, "The resilience of the tenant market in our centres is shown by our 103 lettings in the period of 7% above previous passing rents, including brands such as Next, River Island, Hugo Boss, Grant, Paul Smith, Victoria's Secret and Tesla. Also, our tenants continue to invest in upsizing and upgrading their units, which has resulted in high maintained occupancy. It has promised around £100 million of development redevelopment work at Mary Hill, where it recently signed up Next to expand into the former Sainsbury's supermarket site. Intu's figures show Mary Hill with 212 stores across its 1.67 million square foot. It's now valued at £917 million and annual property income £40.5 million. The company also said it had recently sealed a refinancing deal for Mary Hill with a £480 million loan.
Uffmore Wood, near Hales Owen, was closed by the Woodland Trust as a last resort in May due to dog attacks, sexual activity and drug dealing. But a Freedom of Information request submitted by a Facebook campaign group set up in the wake of the closure has revealed that 28 incidents have been reported to the police since 2012. However, bosses at the Trust say that the site is still deemed as being unsafe, with reports continuing to be received about illegal activities. A spokesperson for the Friends of Uffmore Wood said many people are still extremely angered by the closure of the site, and mostly through the fact that communication has been appalling. People also believe that a lot of the reports about the goings-on in the site have been fabricated because users have been walking there for many years and never witnessed anything that's been reported, and feel the Freedom of Information request shows that. "We are gutted every day that our happy place is out of bounds and still don't agree with it, and we want it reopened." 21 incidents were reported to West Mercia Police and 7 to West Midlands Police. They included loitering and sexual activity. However, bosses at the Trust say the site will remain closed for now. Holly Anderson, spokesperson for the Woodland Trust, said, "We are a private landowner and charity, so people report these incidents in different ways. But what is not indicated through these figures is the severity of the incidents we are facing, sometimes on a daily basis, such as dogging and drug dealing. It's a safety issue, and we want to be confident that the measures we put in place before we reopen. We are trying our best to communicate with the group and want to work with them the best we can," she continued. "We've found that people are still trespassing, despite the signs. It appears that they are climbing over fences and gates that are locked. We have had reports from local people who've been keeping an eye out and from site staff. The police forces declined to comment on the figures." Speaking at the time the Woodland was closed off, West Mercia Police Chief Inspector Sharon Canning said, officers have been working closely with the Woodland Trust following a number of incidents of antisocial behaviour at Uffmore Wood. Officers have been regularly visiting the site on patrol. The ongoing incidents have unfortunately resulted in the Woodland Trust taking action to restrict access to the public space. "We appreciate that this is a rare occurrence, and we will continue to work closely with the Woodland Trust to ensure the safety of the area."
A 62-year-old, who was on edge after being beaten up during a burglary, admitted he had lost it when he attacked a man with a police baton. The victim, who was out walking his dog, was left with a gash on his head that required 6 stitches after being hit with the weapon being wielded by Christopher Foley. Alison Scott-Jones, prosecuting, told Wolverhampton Crown Court that the victim was shot by what happened because there had been no communication at all between the two men. After his arrest, Foley of Delft Lane, Briley Hill, told police officers he had been confused and he had no clear recollection of the incident. Stephen Hamblett, defending, said that Foley had been in bed when his partner told him there was someone looking suspicious outside their home. "He went out, not sure what was going on," Mr. Hamblett said. "One thing led to another and he struck the poor victim." Mr. Hamblett said Foley had previously been the victim in an aggravated burglary and that must have been playing on his mind. "He clearly made the wrong decision," he continued. "He is full of remorse for what he did and devastated that he caused this man injury." Recorder Ben Mills told Foley that although he may have problems as a consequence of the previous incident, it was no excuse to attack another man in a case he described as odd. He said, "This man was simply out walking his dog. You were in front of him with a weapon in your hand. He spoke to you in a polite and calm way and you hit him." The recorder said Foley, a man of previous good character, had later been unable to give police a clear account of what happened, but he had admitted he had lost it. He said he took the view the attack was entirely out of character at a time when his judgment was clouded. Foley admitted assault, causing actual bodily harm, and possessing an offensive weapon, and he was given a 10-month jail term suspended for a year. He was also ordered to pay £250 court costs and £250 compensation to his victim.
School dinner prices are going up by 10 pence a day in Dudley, making them one of the highest charging authorities around. The cost of school meals at primary, secondary schools and academies will rise from the start of the new term in September, going up to £2.30, meaning parents will now pay £11.50 a week for school food. The price of individual food items at snack shops across the borough's 105 schools will also rise by 4.5%. The changes are expected to bring in an extra £144,000, on top of the £3.2 million already paid for school meals. But bosses say that simply offsets the soaring cost of food. It means Dudley will be the authority with the highest charge alongside Sandwell at £2.30, Birmingham Council at £2.20 and Staffordshire Council at £2.10. Walsall charges £2.10 with no plans to change it. Councillor Ian Kettle, Cabinet Member for Planning and Economic Development, who authorised the decision, said, "In a low inflation environment, any increases will be felt. but the research done by the staff and officers showed that it was necessary. Around 50 to 60% of the increase is annual to cover inflation. There is not a great increment on top of that. There will be some families who will feel it, but we are aware of that. But unfortunately, these things need to be done. Former school governor Abdul Quaidus from Stourbridge has three children in school. He said, "It is ridiculous. It makes a big difference, and it's not worth the money for the food that the children get. This will be detrimental to families who already financially struggle. If they have five children, then it will be £40 plus a week in school meals. For those prices, there needs to be a better variety of choice." In September 2016, a 10 pence increase was implemented. In the council decision, document for catering, cleaning and caretaking services, price increases, it stated, the expected income is £3.2 million. Therefore, if meal sales remain constant, the proposed increase of 4.5% will generate an estimated 144k income per annum, which will offset the rising cost of food and utilities. Pupils in Key Stage 1 are now entitled to free school meals following the introduction of universal infant free school meals in September 2014. Pupils in Key Stages 2 and 3 may also be entitled to free school meals if they meet the criteria.
The owner of a furniture store is protesting over a fun fair which would be held outside his store, which he claims will hit his sales up to 90%. Andrew Hill, who runs Discount Suites and Beds on Oakywell Street in Dudley, says the fair affects his business because it's located on a council car park right outside his shop. He says the amount of customers he gets drops during that time. But council leaders have hit back at Mr. Hill's claims, which they believe are unjustified. Mr. Hill said, "Dudley Council has allowed the fun fair to go ahead on the car park directly in front of my shop. The fun fair normally runs for 2 weeks, and in that time my sales are affected around 80 to 90%. The fair has been held for the last 2 years, and I've been protesting against it, but Dudley Council doesn't seem to care." His shop is located next to Flood Street Car Park, near to Cousins, which is where the fun fair is held. Mr. Hill says the fair will run for 2 weeks. Councillor Khurshid Ahmed, the Labour spokesman for Planning and Economic Development at Dudley Council, said, "I think we had this issue last year. I don't think it's justifiable. The fun fair does not block off his store. The fun fair attracts more people to the town centre, where they can also go and shop. I think the view we've taken is in the interests of the larger picture. Dudley Council owns the land and allows businesses and companies to use it by paying a fee." Councillor Ian Kettle, Cabinet Member for Planning and Economic Development, said, "The fun fair on Flood Street car park was a big success last year in terms of bringing extra footfall into the town centre as well as generating income for the council. We were made aware of Mr. Hill's feelings while it was here last time, and we asked him to write to us after it had gone, outlining exactly how it had affected his trade. Unfortunately, we never heard from him. We also did not receive any complaints for other traders in the town centre. The fun fair returned on 28th July for 2 weeks, and we remain in discussions with Mr. Hill as to how we can support his business through measures such as extra signage."
Stourbridge food lovers enjoyed a giant summer market and outdoor food festival last weekend. The event was in Mary Stevens Park in Norton, Saturday, July the 29th and Sunday, July the 30th. A host of food and craft businesses were selling their wares at the two-day event, including brand new Stourbridge artisan fudge company, Whittington Hall Fudge. As well as street food and a craft market selling gifts and vintage items, there was also live music, birds of prey, selling gifts, children's fun fair rides and entertainment, Punch and Judy shows throughout the festival. Linda McGillicuddy, director of LSD promotion, said, "We held the event last year in the park and it was very popular, which is why we are bringing it back." Jaguar Land Rover Wolverhampton sponsored the event, which ran from 10 till 5 p.m, and they brought along one of their cars to showcase. Popular black country comedy act, the Fizzogs, famous for the hilarious dancing grannies routine, also put in an appearance at the festival on the Saturday afternoon. Stourbridge Tennis Club offered free tennis lessons throughout the event. And Borough Parks are celebrating after being recognised as some of the UK's best green and open spaces. Buffery Park in Dudley, Leo's Park Helsowen, and Wren's Nest National Nature Reserve in Dudley have all been awarded Green Flag status, while Mary Stevens Park in Stourbridge and Dudley's Priory Park have been awarded the Green Heritage Award. The Dudley Council-run parks are now among 1,797 UK parks and green spaces that have received the top award, the mark of a quality park or green space, by the Green Flag Award scheme. Abbey Road Allotments in Helsowen has also received a Green Flag Community Award. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Dudley's Cabinet Minister for Environmental Services, said, "We're really proud of our parks in the borough, and it's fantastic so many have been given the Green Flag status in this most recent announcement. It's important to us that we maintain and preserve them for future generations, as we know they provide a haven for people of all ages, whether they're walking the dog or taking their children for a kickabout. The opportunity to get outdoors and enjoy quality green spaces right on their doorstep." The International Award is assigned to the public that the space boasts the highest possible environmental standards, is beautifully maintained, and has excellent visitor facilities. Paul Todd, International Green Flag Award Scheme Manager, said, "We are delighted to be celebrating another record-breaking year for the Green Flag Award Scheme. Each flag is a celebration of the thousands of staff and volunteers who work tirelessly to maintain the high standards demanded by the Green Flag Award."
Traffic calming measures will be added to roads on an estate in a bid to ease fears of them being used as a shortcut during a major roadwork scheme. Speed humps will be installed and the speed limit cut to 20 miles an hour on 5 roads off the A4101 High Street in Pensnet, Dudley, after residents feared they would have to put up with traffic trying to escape roadwork miseries. A £6.3 million scheme is underway, which will see 2 new sets of traffic lights put on High Street at the junctions with High Oak and Tansey Green Road to ease congestion and make it safer for turning traffic. High Street will also be widened for 2 lanes to be introduced in both directions at the new traffic lights, while there will also be additional pedestrian crossings. Residents living in Bird's Meadow, Birch and Moor Gardens, Corbin's Hall Lane, Corbin's Close and Woodfield Avenue were concerned traffic would come past their homes to try and get round delays. The road is used by 30,000 vehicles a day. The work is expected to be completed next summer. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Environmental Services boss at Dudley Council, said, "During the consultation phase, a number of residents raised concerns that the Pensnet scheme would have a knock-on effect of traffic diverting down their roads. We've listened to them and introduced these measures to ease congestion. The scheme will also result in Bradley Street being closed to through traffic to improve visibility and safety for drivers and pedestrians. Motorists will also only be able to turn left out of Bird's Meadow and Tansey Green Road. Several empty buildings at Bradley Street and High Oak will be bulldozed to allow the roads to be widened. Lane closures and restrictions will be in place on the road during various points of the project. It's the latest major roadwork scheme in the Dudley Borough, following a £250,000 project on High Street, Amblecote, Stourbridge. to install traffic lights and improve pedestrian crossings.
Prince Harry buoyed the spirits of volunteers helping with the Grenfell Tower relief effort with a visit to the sorting hub for mountains of donations. Harry was seen smiling and chatting to British Red Cross workers who've taken over a Royal Mail site in Greenford, northwest London. During a 50-minute private visit, Harry also talked to the Royal Mail staff who have facilitated the operation of the charity. According to the British Red Cross, volunteers have so far sifted through around 62 tonnes of donations, with 10 tonnes having gone back to those affected in the West London neighbourhood. They include clothes, bedding and toiletries, it said. Hundreds were left destitute when a fire ripped through the 24-storey building on June the 14th, killing at least 80 people. Adele Hampton, aged 51, has been volunteering between shifts as an auxiliary nurse, travelling from her home in Kent to help. She said after meeting Harry, "His visit is a boost and recognition. Not that we want recognition, we don't, but for someone in such a position to care enough to take time out and come and see us means a lot. I would say it makes it worthwhile. What makes it worthwhile is making sure the victims get support. But when someone like Prince Harry comes down here, it's lovely and genuine. He wanted to talk to everybody." The charity said on its website, excess donations were being sold on its high street shops, with the money raised going to its London Fire Relief Fund, which has so far raised more than £3.2 million. It reported that some 850 volunteers had contributed 5,100 hours of their time sorting donations since the end of June. A Kensington Palace spokeswoman said on Thursday, "Prince Harry wanted to visit the volunteers who have given many hours of their time to help sort through the huge number of donations made to the victims of the Grenfell Tower fire. His Royal Highness was moved to hear how generous the public and businesses have been in donating all kinds of items to those affected. He thanked the teams from the British Red Cross and Royal Mail who've worked tirelessly to sort through the donations."
A man is lucky to be alive after flipping his car on a busy Stourbridge Road on Monday, July the 24th. A car ended up on its side after the driver crashed through a lamppost and knocked a postbox off the ground in Hagley Road. Emergency services swamped the scene near the junction with Union Street just after 2 p.m. and found a man in his 60s inside the overturned vehicle, but miraculously the driver was able to climb out of the car. An ambulance service spokesman said the man escaped serious harm but was suffering from chest pain and a head injury. Watch Commander Dave Smith from Stourbridge Fire Station told the news, "We don't know for sure what happened yet as we've not been able to speak to the driver. We believe he blacked out as there were no tyre marks on the road to indicate he slowed down. When we got there, the car was on its side and we were able to get the man out using a ladder as a lot of fuel was leaking. With the help of a few members of the public, we were able to get the driver out of the window. It was quite an unusual way of dealing with a road traffic collision." The driver of the car, who was the only person involved in the crash, underwent treatment from West Midlands Ambulance Services at the scene. Watch Commander Smith added, "The car's airbags went off and I think hitting the lamppost would have softened the blow of the postbox. He is very lucky to have been able to get out. It could have been much worse." There was also a person who was delivering post at the time, but luckily they were able to get away before the postbox was hit. The postbox was completely uprooted from the pavement and the incident completely blocked Hagley Road and left motorists having to make U-turns in both directions while emergency services were at the scene. And with that last piece of news, we now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Sue.
And bye-bye from Margaret.
And it's goodbye from Brian.